Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
So we're going to take you back in time to the late 1970s. It was a show called Family Feud. And there's a clip where the guy is asked, name an animal that has only three letters in it.
Oh, my. We're doing this?
Yes.
An animal with just three letters.
Yeah, go.
Ant.
Okay, that's certainly one.
Bat.
Certainly.
Dog.
Yes.
Hog.
Yes.
Cat.
Yes.
Rat.
Yes. Eel.
Eel, there you go. That's
hen.
A good one.
Hen. That's right. So this is commentated. This episode of Family Feud is commentated by somebody at home. Take a listen.
Name an animal with three letters in his name.
Dog. Dog. Cat. Bat. Rat. Ape. Fly. Bee. Pig. Hog. Hen. Eel. Ant.
Frog.
Unbelievable.
Something found in the refrigerator.
Milk.
Milk.
A brand of gasoline.
Shell. Mobile.
Regular.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Rain.
Snow.
Sounds right. All right, we're not out of the woods yet. Let's see what your brother can do.
I got good news and bad news.
It's all bad news.
Give me the bad news first.
The bad news is your brother thinks it snows in the summer and is pretty dicey on three-letter words. Bring him back. Here we go.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Dog, cat, just say something normal.
Alligator.
Alligator.
I mean, there are three letters in alligator.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
Yes.
And there's a lot more, too.
Three plus a lot.
Fox?
Could we have just a brief discussion about Richard Dawson and Sam? You missed out on the era you should have grown up in. We all know that. Late 70s, early 80s.
Where every woman got herpes simplex 2 on Family
Woman
Feud.
Every woman was
come here, give
caressed
me a kiss.
And manhandled.
Sexually assaulted.
And yes, without consent. You knew it was coming, ladies.
So Richard Dawson, Sam, used to be the host on Family Feud years and before, long before Steve Harvey ever even came on the scene.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
Richard Dawson.
Years.
He was a very intimate guy, it sounds like.
When he would go over to your little family table where all five of you are gathered, if there was a woman in your family group, it didn't matter if she was 120 pounds and looked like Brooke Shields, or if she was 450 pounds and near death, you were getting kissed on the lips.
Oh, hey,
planting a wet one.
On the lips, not on the cheek.
No, it
not
was
on the hand.
Full on, and he had mutton chops. I do feel like we need to at least acknowledge the mutton chops.
Correct. I mean, why wouldn't he?
He would just go right on in, and he was remembered, by the way, for his, quote, charm and charisma. I don't know that looking back with the lens of today, most people would agree that was charm or charisma.
Charm right. and charisma like Pepe Le Pew?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very much like Pepe Le Pew.
Did he have a gigantic mustache, too?
No. Very
clean
shaven. Very
helmet
clean
hair. Mm-hmm. And very friendly.
Richard Dawson kissed an estimated 20,000 women during his tenure on Family Feud.
Lucky bastard.
And he would just go down the line. Scott, look, I found
an old
video.
Know, Dana,
he would just go down. You know, they're
it
all.
It didn't matter.
Sam, all the contestants are just lined up, right? Like behind their
and
desk.
You get a kiss. And you get a kiss.
He would just line them up. And right on in he went. And then, oh my gosh, some of these are horrifyingly uncomfortable.
Now, were the husbands told they weren't allowed to react?
Yeah. Oh.
It was
oh.
just
it was
assumed.
Part of the show. Mm-hmm. And the contestants were involved in this.
Well, I just saw one that Dana showed me where the woman, beautiful blonde woman, he goes in to kiss her. She reaches up with both of her hands and grabs his face and brings him in for it.
Yeah, it was part of the show. It was the showbiz of it. You know,
I'm sure they thought he was wicked hot.
He wasn't wicked hot. He was handsome.
But wait,
ladies,
there is a video where he is. I mean, Scott described that
sexual assault.
He is assaulting that woman. He is noodling her neck. Is that a word? He is in there behind her ear, doing what?
Oh my word!
Yes,
that woman's going in for tongue.
Doing what a romantic partner would do
Hello.
Consensually with someone that with whom you are intimate, not
it was
a game
the
show
70s.
Host. Oh, Dan, you cannot defend that.
From the
I'm
text
not defending
line.
It. It's just one of those things
Dan,
that was.
Dan, you and I are the same age, and I can't even defend that.
From well, the text no line, defense. The wives ate it up.
Well, he's no, eating he something sure up did. There yeah. without permission. I'm Hello. Sorry. I wonder if you had to sign a waiver before saying you are going to be. I mean, look at him kissing her ear. That is not okay.
He's giving her his hotel room number.
Yeah, he's whispering some sweet nothings there.
You know, he was quite the celebrity. He was on Hogan's Heroes, remember?
Yes, he did run away and join
he
the Navy at age
well
14.
Well known.
If you look at his bio, at 14, he yep. joined the Royal Navy.
Mm-hmm. He's British.
He's British?
Yep.
Did anyone ever raise an eyebrow or maybe just a suggestion that I do not want your sloppy mutton chopped face all over mine, if you don't mind?
I bet
Richard.
They talked about it prior to going on the show about how excited they were for their planted kiss from Richard Dawson.
It was the way things were. Whether we see it as right or wrong.
Oh, God.
It was the way things were, and people were involved, and the women loved him.
They did love it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. Not all 20,000 women love that. I'm sorry.
Here's what I'm telling you right now. I haven't seen a single one cringe.
Dawson started kissing female contestants on the cheeks and hands and eventually the lips within the first few weeks of the show. It all started when he came across a woman who seemed quite nervous, unable to name a green vegetable. I said, quote, I'm going to do something that my mom would do to me whenever I had a problem of any kind. And I kissed her on the cheek. That's for luck. And she said, asparagus, and went on to win, he told the Archive of American Television in a 2010 interview. After a month or so, executives tried to put an end to the kissing, according to Dawson, by claiming the sponsors felt kissing women without knowing their marital status or getting their permission was uncomely.
Uncomely?
Uncomely.
I've never heard that word before. Huh.
He allegedly asked viewers to vote on whether he should stop. The votes came in 14,600 to 704 in favor of the kissing. 14,600 to 704 in favor of him continuing to kiss the women.
Keep doing it then.
So not all 20,000 liked it, but 19,550 did.
The book also reveals that contestants filled out a questionnaire before each game, including, do you mind if Richard Dawson greets you with a kiss? And apparently not many declined. As controversial as the kissing was, in 1981, Dawson planted a peck on a woman who would eventually become his second wife.
Really?
49-year-old Dawson met 24-year-old Gretchen Johnson when she was a contestant on the show.
I'll be darned.
In the video below, it says it's painfully obvious he was smitten. He is caressing her hand as if you were on a first date in a very romantic restaurant.
That was the shtick.
Dan's right.
Do you guys also remember at the beginning of the show, they would have one family, like they were posing for a portrait.
Like an old Western
portrait. Yeah, like an old Western portrait. And then they would glare at the other family across the way.
And then it would be like, and the Donaldsons. And then there they are, like they're in 1875 or something. Then they'd all rush out to their spots.
Guess who? It is me. Oh, but pardonnez-moi, but permit me to introduce you myself. I am Pepe Le Pew.
Animal with three letters in its name.
Dog. Dog. Cat. Bat. Rat. Ape. Fly. Bee. Pig. Hog. Hen. Eel. Ant.
Frog.
Unbelievable.
Something found in the refrigerator.
Milk.
Milk.
A brand of gasoline.
Shell. Mobile.
Regular.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Rain.
Snow.
Sounds right. All right, we're not out of the woods yet. Let's see what your brother can do.
I got good news and bad news.
It's all bad news.
Give me the bad news first.
The bad news is your brother thinks it snows in the summer and is pretty dicey on three-letter words. Bring him back. Here we go.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Dog, cat, just say something normal.
Alligator.
Their greatest song, no debate. Welcome back, Dana and Parks. She's Dana Wright. That guy over there is Sam Stevie the Third. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to get signed up as quickly as you can because it's in short order for the fourth Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is on Saturday, October 19th at Serve in Overland Park from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And because of the short time frame, we are limiting it this year to only 100 teams, and it will be a bracket tournament. You do qualify for ACA points, for those of you who are into all that stuff. Get registered. Get your team registered as soon as possible at kmbz.com, and we will see you Saturday, October 19th at Serve.
So, interesting update to a law that has been around for 15, 16 years from the Kansas City Star. A federal judge has struck down the Missouri law that required child sex offenders to post, quote, no candy signs on Halloween, finding the requirement violates the First Amendment. U.S. District Court Judge John A. Ross ruled on October 2nd that the state law amounts to compelled speech that violates the rights of individuals on the Missouri Sex Offender Registry for crimes against children, which includes sexual and non-sexual offenses. Ross blocked Missouri from enforcing the rule right before Halloween, calling it unconstitutional. It caps a year-long legal battle over the requirement. In October of 2023, Thomas L. Sanderson, who was convicted of a sex offense in 2006 and lives in St. Louis, sued in U.S. District Court for the Eastern District Court of Missouri to challenge the sign posting requirement. Now, you remember this, Scott. The Missouri law called the Halloween statute required offenders to avoid like Halloween-related contact with children,
okay,
to generally remain inside their residence between 5 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. on Halloween, leave all residential lighting off, and post a sign stating no candy or treats at this residence. The judge's decision strikes down only the sign requirement. So the way I read this is, if you're a sex, and Kansas has the same rule, or did.
You have to post a sign on your door?
The rule in Kansas was you couldn't answer the door.
Okay.
You cannot be involved in children coming to the door, knock, knock, trick or treat. You don't get to play that game on Halloween. The Missouri law, again, requires offenders to avoid Halloween-related contact with children. You have to generally remain inside your residence between 5 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. on Halloween. Leave all your lighting off that night, and the sign that said no candy.
Why? I actually agree with the sign.
Why only strike down decision. The no candy sign? What the sex offender said was, that is requiring me to post speech that I disagree with. I disagree that there's no candy in this residence. Maybe he's got a bunch of Reese's peanut butter cups. We don't know.
I think he might be right. Now, granted, in fairness, and this is only for child sexual offenders, right?
Correct. Plaintiff has proven that the signposting requirement compels him to speak a viewpoint in written words directed to the public that he does not adhere to in violation of the First Amendment.
I agree with it. I agree with the judge's decision, and I'm hard-pressed to come to the defense of somebody who has committed a sexual crime against children. Having said that, you do give up certain rights. For example, if you have awfully, regrettably, sickeningly engaged in some sort of sex act, illegal sex act against a child.
Or online, some of it is non-sexual contact, which I read that online pornography.
Right. You do give up some rights. For example, you have to register for the rest of your life as a sexual offender wherever you move or go. So you've, in essence, have given up a right, the right of anonymity, the right of personal privacy. However, the plaintiff in this case is right. You're forcing me to say something, or in this case, to write something that presumably comes from me that I don't either agree with or is not true.
The judge writes that he doesn't discount the government's interest in protecting children from sex offenders on Halloween, but, quote, the evidence fails to show that the signposting requirement is narrowly tailored to achieve that interest in the least restrictive manner.
Here's something else I disagree with in the law. Did you not say that sex offenders have to remain inside their home from
generally,
5 to 10:30 p.m.?
That is what the law says, generally.
What if I work? And my shift doesn't get over until 8. What if it's 7 o'clock at night and I want to go out to McDonald's? Am I not allowed to freely move about as long as I'm not hand? I mean, if the argument's going to be you should not be allowed to hand out candy to young children who come knocking on your door, fine. I don't disagree with that at all. But you're telling me that I have to be home on Halloween night at no later than 5 o'clock?
Because honestly, if you ask me as a parent, I'd prefer the sex offender not be home on that night.
Amen to that.
De facto house arrest for 5 hours every year.
Sanderson is a big Halloween guy, by the way. He was convicted of a sex offense in 2006 after he and his family moved to St. Louis County. Every year on Halloween, he has thrown large parties, hosted bonfires, and handed out candy to children outside. Sanderson testified he didn't believe Missouri's Halloween law applied to him, since he was convicted before that law was enacted in 2008. That argument doesn't hold water to me, because you are still a registered sex offender, no matter when the Halloween law was passed.
Well, but I believe
you're still an offender.
I'm not a lawyer, but I believe the term is post de facto, where you can't pass a new law and retroactively apply it to me.
That is correct.
But you're not retroactively applying the law
are.
To him. He was and remains a sex offender.
I understand, but let's say, for example, that, and this is you might say this analogy doesn't work, but I think it does. Let's say that I was convicted of possession of marijuana in 1999, and that carried with it a 6-month jail sentence and some community service hours. All of a sudden, the United States or the state of Kansas starts getting really tough on its marijuana laws, and they pass a law that if you're caught with any amount of marijuana, you go to prison for life. You can't go back in time and then throw me in prison for the rest of my life. That's post de facto.
I don't see those as exactly the same, but you could be right.
And is it not an unwritten rule that if the lights are off, that house is a no-go for trick-or-treating?
It most certainly is. If your lights are off, and there have been years when I was younger where I didn't have any money, so I didn't go out and buy $50 worth of candy.
Yeah.
And I would just leave the light off, and I never got a single knock.
So wouldn't that make the sign a redundancy?
It's an extra punishment. Yeah,
it is. It's look at me. But here's the other deal. I would say this, Scott. Everyone knows if you have that guy living in your neighborhood.
That's exactly right.
Everyone knows. And if you don't, you're not doing your due diligence. We had one not far from the kids' elementary school.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Robin, Aaron, you guys hang tight. We'll get with everybody in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the state of Missouri, he has won. He is not someone I want to defend, but it's his rights that I have to defend. And he is a convicted sex offender who fought against the state of Missouri and a law that required that not only he be indoors from 5 to 10:30 p.m. on Halloween night, light had to be off at the front door, no answering the door, and he had to put up a sign that said, no candy in this house. How you're going to see that without the light, I don't know, but who cares? He did challenge this, and regarding the sign, a federal judge found that he was right, that forcing him to write that sign and put it on his front door violated his First Amendment rights to free speech. I'm not looking for sympathy for this guy at all. Presumably, he's a horrible human being who did horrible things. But in these United States, you still have some rights.
You know what else is interesting to me about this case? It's the opposite of your free speech, the way that we usually see these cases, where I'm saying I have the right to say what I want. That's my free speech right. This turns it on its head, where the plaintiff is saying, the government is making me say something I don't believe in that I don't want to say, and it still falls under the protections of the First Amendment.
Now, we had mentioned ex post facto laws and whether or not you can retroactively make somebody put a sign in their window to say that they're not handing out candy because you're on the registry. This doesn't directly relate. However, it was handled in the Supreme Court whether or not you had to even sign up for the registry if you were convicted of that crime
before
prior
the law.
To the registry being in place.
And I would argue you do not have to.
Ooh.
They argued against you.
Yeah.
And decided that you did have
you
to sign
did
up
have
for the
to.
Registry because it was not a separate conviction.
It's just part of your, really it's part of your probation. You've already been convicted. They're not trying you again. They're just saying as part, I don't want to say the punishment.
Well, it is.
As part of the fallout for what you have done, you have to do this extra step and register.
And how is that not ex post facto?
Yeah.
You're retroactively applying a new law to the crime
it's
that
a new
I can.
Regulation.
I would argue that it is ex post facto.
It is.
The courts disagreed.
Aaron on line one. Hello.
Hey. So I got one question and then a comment. So you said that he throws parties on Halloween. Doesn't that violate what the law said on that part?
I said the same thing, and that's why police came around in the first place, Aaron, and said, hey, and by the way, you also don't have a sign, and then it ended up going to court. I agree. So, he throws these big Halloween parties. He gives out candy. To me, that is in violation of the law the way it's written. Sign regardless.
So it sounds like he's breaking the law and should be in jail on this Halloween. But then the comment is, what if the sheriff used some of his, you know, political action fund to, you know, make some signs and maybe give it to the neighbors that say, hey, next door neighbor, maybe a sex offender. So that's what I think the sheriff could do. And, you know, then he wouldn't be breaking any laws because it would be free speech by the neighbor's part and not impacting his free speech.
That's an interesting point.
Can I
put a sign in my yard with an arrow arrow pointing next door.
That guy's a sex offender?
Yeah, avoid. That's a fact. It's a fact if he is a registered sex. Now, would I want to get into that with a next door neighbor?
No, I would not.
With a criminal history? No.
Talk about neighbor feuds.
I mean, but where do you draw the line? You know, which is the question I always ask on this show. What if the person next door... I'm not going to make this political, but disagrees with you politically. And,
right.
And, you know, you write something politically offensive with an arrow pointing in their direction or, you know, neighbor next door cheated on his wife 3 times.
Is it a fact?
Can you prove it?
The fact is you're probably going to get your face punched in. Robin in Kansas City. Robin, hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
So I was on the phone earlier and I was mentioning we have a woman in our subdivision who actually was on the registers list. She was on that watchdog website, her picture and everything. But I noticed that a couple of years ago, she wasn't on there anymore. And if you look at casenet.com under her name, the only thing you see is a case where she had her name removed from the list. Now, I know in years past, she nor her husband were passing out trick-or-treats, and I believe the front door was open. So perhaps there was a sign on the door, I'm not sure, but the front door was open, and they were not passing out trick-or-treats. And I don't know if, you know, they've done that in these last couple years or not. But I thought once you're on the list, you're on the list, and you can't be removed. So,
Robin, that's a great question. I don't remember how those rules work. Is it a certain amount of time?
By the way, the generally indoors portion of that is not a you're not allowed to leave your home. It's a don't go posting up on the front porch, you weirdo.
Got it.
Well, then say that. I mean, because the way the law read, the way Dana read the law, it's that I have to be home inside, lights out, from 5 to 10:30. And again, I'm not asking for sympathy for these people. I'm not. But you have to insert a general level of logic. What if they work until 9 o'clock at night?
You know what? Several years ago when I was working down the street, somehow it came to be that I was looking up the address of a sex offender. I don't even remember why. It was for a story I was working on. I looked up an address.
Okay.
And lo and behold, as I was searching, I kept seeing the exact same address. And let me make up like 100 Main Street East. It doesn't even matter. While I was looking at the registry... that same address kept popping up. And I thought, well, maybe that's probably a halfway house, right? Like, you know, downtown, we had a couple of those halfway houses where when you're released from prison, you go there for a month, get your stuff in order, get a job, check in with your probation officer, and then they cut you loose.
Okay.
Nope. It was a rundown, ramshackle apartment complex in Midtown. I'll just say Midtown. For some reason, the landlord decided, because it is difficult, as you can imagine, to find a place to stay with that type of crime in your background. For whatever reason, this was the sex offender lofts of Midtown.
Oh,
where
God.
I am telling you, Scott, there must have been 40 sex offenders in one apartment complex.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you? I mean, that in and of itself is a story.
I do believe we turned that in some form or fashion just to say there wasn't anything illegal about it.
No.
But man, don't go trick-or-treating there.
Did you ever?
They
trick-or-treat, run!
Walk in, you don't walk out. Did you ever get to talk to the landlord? No. Did he have a history of this kind of crime?
This was 25 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't remember.
I wonder if he or she had a similar crime in their background and they were just
sympathetic somehow.
Yeah.
All rent to you.
I couldn't find a place to live when I got out of the clink.
Kind of weird that this guy fought this hard to not have to put a sign up on his door.
Well, he won, Sam. Well, and got more attention to his name than he otherwise ever would have gotten.
Probably true. But Sam, to his point, these are his rights.
That's fair.
At least that's what a federal judge determined, that this is his right. And at what point do you say, I'm going to stand up for my rights? I know what I did was awful, terrible. I'm a horrible human being. I probably should still be in prison, but I'm not.
Do we know, obviously, without ranking these crimes, the severity of it? Like, was he peeing next to a school?
It does not say in the body of the story that I read.
Okay.
I can look up the Kansas City Star version of the story. But, Sam, the law, the way it is applied and the way this part was struck down would cover everyone on the sex offender registry, whether it was a Romeo and Juliet or whether it was peeing on the side of the highway, which I think they've done away with, all the way up to the most serious sex crimes.
I hope so, because if peeing on the side of the highway is illegal, I am going to prison.
Well, it wasn't the side of the highway. It was near a facility with children.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. The Northern Lights, or Aurora Borealis, for those of you who speak that language, I don't even know what language that is.
English.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
Will be visible in a number of U.S. states in the next few days, including tonight. Alaska, of course, Washington State, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. But the chance for an aurora borealis, don't know the language, sighting in most of these states are low. Though Alaskans still have the best shot at seeing the lights.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to see the legitimate northern lights the way that they band across the sky up in Alaska. But if you shine your phone at the sky and you happen to be in an area without a lot of light pollution, you can actually see the green hue through your phone camera.
Huh. But you can't see it with the naked eye?
You cannot.
Really?
You know what one woman saw with the naked eye outside of her house this week in Washington?
What?
There's a photo of more than 100 raccoons.
Hey, what's your name? My name's Buddy. Does someone need a hug?
More than 100 raccoons swarm woman's home demanding food. And there is a photo. It's as creepy as you would think it would be. Deputies say a woman in Washington State called 911, and what I would give to hear this call. She called 911 after her home was surrounded by more than 100 raccoons, quote, demanding food. The woman called the Kitsap County Sheriff's Office to report she could not get inside her home because of a raccoon invasion last Thursday. It didn't take long for them to unpeel this onion, Scott.
Okay.
She told deputies she started feeding them around her house.
Well,
about 35 years ago without any problems.
Seven generations later.
6 weeks ago, the population exploded. Now the animals surround her home day and night. Quoting here from the spokesperson from the sheriff's office, somehow word got out in raccoon land and they all showed up at once expecting a meal.
They're cute.
Not when there's 100 of them.
Now, you know, when I living in Roland Park years ago, I was out on a walk and I was on the sidewalk, of course, and I heard this chirping sound coming from the sewer. And I looked down, it was right across the street from my house. Mm-hmm. And I looked down in there, and there was about three or four raccoons in there.
Were you feeding them?
No, I hadn't fed them yet. Mm-hmm. They were super cute and looked like they were scared and starving.
Right, you're going to get rabies. Do not feed them.
So I went to my house, and I got some carrots and an apple.
Are you even
And I threw it in the sewer.
Joking?
No, I threw it in the sewer.
For 1 minute?
No, I threw it in the sewer. I didn't put it in my front yard. I threw it in the sewer.
Sam, would you like to get in on this?
Where would you like for me to chime in?
I do hope that somebody steps in and helps her take care of this problem, quoting here from the neighbors, and hopefully she'll quit doing it. The sheriff's office referred the woman to the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife to address her raccoon problem. She did contact them, and the organization that was going to help her trap them wanted $500 per raccoon.
Wow.
Pretty, now, by the way,
pretty proud of your trapping skills, aren't you?
Provide the second most bites infected with rabies.
Number one would be bats.
That is correct.
As animal control works to find a solution, McCarty recommends people avoid feeding wild animals. Don't feed them. When wild animals have a reliable food source, Scott, they're going to keep coming back. And that's when these raccoons
I was their reliable
did
food
until
source.
The number got out of hand.
I see no issue with Scott feeding raccoons in the sewer.
In the sewer. It's not like I laid it out on my front porch. And by the way, we have a lagoon right behind the stands at the football field at Mill Valley. And at the beginning of November every year, everybody in our neighborhood will take their pumpkins and throw it over the fence because there's a bunch of wild little animals that run around in there and they eat the pumpkins.
I believe that's littering.
It's not littering.
I don't think it's littering if it's food.
Yeah.
I do think it's a ding-a-ling thing to do because now the raccoon population has exploded in your zip code, which is close enough to mine that I hope that you stop.
It's not even remotely close to your zip
Raccoons
code.
Can travel, Scott, in packs of 100.
Clearly. Clearly. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Don't forget to sign up for the fourth Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. It is Saturday, October 19th at Serve, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Speaking of animals, every single dime goes to benefit KC Pet Project. You can sign up your team at kmbz.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your tacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.